Coming up on today's show.
And hopefully during their experience with you, you say something, one of their teammates says something, or they experience something that leaves a lasting impact.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to social media for the show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. And we are still going strong with the Catholic Sports Radio community, which is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of the show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that as well on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And of course, social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. A couple weeks ago, on episode 252, I made reference at the start of my ministry moment to end-of-season awards having recently been handed out in Major League Baseball. It is with great regularity that when you hear an athlete interviewed after receiving a major award, or say during their acceptance speech when it's a televised live event where the awards are being given out, that it's not about them individually, it's about the team collectively, and they thank their teammates and coaches. A lot of times, too, you'll also hear someone, an athlete or a coach, react to winning an individual award and say that the one that matters the most is the ultimate trophy, meaning winning the league championship. By the end of one's career, though, the elite can really build up quite a trophy case, showing off all the hardware that they've accumulated over their years in the game. But those are not the ultimate, and it's not about us. In the New Testament, we read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and decay destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the head men's basketball coach at Belmont Abbey College, a Catholic institution. Previously, he had been an assistant coach at the United States Military Academy, Army West Point. As a student athlete, he had played collegiately for two seasons at the University of South Carolina, Aiken, before moving into a student assistant coaching role. He had earned his first coaching position in 2018 at UNC Charlotte, and is a graduate of Charlotte Catholic High School. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, David Belfield.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me. Super excited to connect with you, to share some things.
Likewise. Thank you, David. We are hearing in that introduction about the Carolinas, as well as the United States Military Academy up in New York. But where are you from originally? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
So I'm one of three children. I'm the middle child. I have an older brother and a younger sister. My family is originally from Bayshore, New York, Long Island. But as a four-year-old, we moved to the Mid-Hudson Valley, Red Hook, New York. And then a few years later, I think when I was nine, we relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. Well, this is one instance where I don't know the answer in advance, so I will be learning this for the first time right along with the audience. Are you a cradle Catholic? What did the faith life look like in your household as a young boy?
So I was baptized at a young age, but then as we started to move around, for whatever the reason is, my family kind of wasn't consistent with the church, and it wasn't until we moved north to North Carolina, where we got started again. But as I transitioned my junior year of high school to Charlotte Catholic, that's when it kind of picked back up for me, and I was actually a member of RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adult. And that's, as a junior in high school, I was actually in the class with some of the younger children, and that's when I did, you know, my first confession, first communion, confirmation, and all that as a high school student.
Was it simply a product of attending a Catholic high school, or was there something away from that that happened that maybe was the impetus for everything you just described?
You know, I think I had the curiosity because it was a part of my, you know, family life when I was younger. It was also something really important to my grandparents. But then when I made the decision to go to Charlotte Catholic, around that time, I said, "Hey, Mom, I think this is what's right for me now." And my younger sister and I actually did it together.
Very nice. Very nice. I only referenced basketball in the intro. At whatever age you first became active in sports, was basketball your first and only sport, or did you compete in anything else along the way?
So basketball was my first love. My dad was a police officer, but his hobby was coaching basketball. So he ran some leagues through the PAL. So I started playing at a really young age. And when we moved to the Mid-Hudson Valley, he was actually a volunteer assistant coach at Bard College. And I was a ball boy with my brother. So I was around the game constantly, and it really drew me in. We tried little league baseball. We tried flag football, but nothing stuck. My brother and I guess we both played a season of baseball and a season of flag football, but it's been basketball since we were, you know, 3-4 years old.
Now, having just heard that, and of course, coupling that with the intro that I did when I first brought you in my ministry moment, I talked about trophies. The further and further you went with basketball, did you find yourself at any point borderline worshiping basketball and saying, this is what I want to do, this is what will really satisfy me and make me happy? Or did you maybe have a bigger picture view and feel that, yeah, I'd like to somehow make a career in basketball, playing or coaching, but it's not what defines me?
I think when I was younger, there was a lot of that going on with basketball. Honestly, that may be why, as a young child, why my family kind of strayed away from, you know, being at church every Sunday, because we were just playing basketball constantly. Every weekend, Saturday, Sunday, we were at a tournament playing in an event, you know, from the age 9 to when I graduated high school. That's kind of what we did. My sister did the same thing with volleyball. And we just, you know, I didn't put as much thought into it until you asked that question, but maybe I was worshiping the game of basketball. I don't think it was until I got into the coaching side that I put a lot more thought into using basketball as a vehicle.
Yeah, last week on the show, I mentioned men being called to lead their families. So as you did enter coaching, did you realize the vocational element of the calling, the being in service to student athletes, and the importance to showing leadership that they could feel a connection to?
Yeah, I think I saw that early on when I started coaching. I had a conversation with someone. I was visiting New York with my dad, and someone I didn't know approached me and said, "Hey, like, you don't know me, but your dad had a tremendous impact on me. He was one of my coaches." And my dad, you know, he didn't coach for, you know, money, fame, or anything like that. He came from a rough town, rough neighborhood, and he saw basketball as a way to help those kids make better decisions, right, to take them off the street and kind of give them something to strive for. So that was probably one of the big pieces for me early on, seeing that you can use the game to really help people. So that was probably the first time that it hit me.
Yeah, and for the audience, this is just the latest example of how impactful. And for some reason, David, there's something about the way that you're telling the story that makes me think that your father was kind of a walk softly, carry a big stick person. And my point being that we may not be real boisterous. We may not be, look at me, I'm the coach, or look at me, I'm the insert role here. But the effect that you are having not only on the student athletes that you're coaching, in your father's case, I love the angle that you presented. I see this as an opportunity to take them off the streets and keep them out of trouble, but also kind of the opportunity of, all right, they are going to tell stories for years and years. And I would love it to be that Coach David, whatever they refer to as Coach Belfield, had a nice impact on me. And so it's important to recognize in those moments that, yes, I'm here to coach basketball, but there's also life lessons, and maybe I'm going to be someone that is talked about years later for life reasons and not for he taught me a great crossover dribble.
Yeah, absolutely. And then thankfully, you know, the two coaches that I worked for first, their faith was really important to them. So I kind of got to see it in action, right? Because we've all played sport and been around people where it's just about the game. Thankfully, the first two guys that I spent a ton of time with were constantly connecting faith and basketball, and who they were as a coach kind of was a direct correlation of their faith. And they weren't, you know, Catholic. They were both Christians. But it was a nice introduction to the profession to see that side of things.
The first time you saw that, though, were you a little caught off guard? Because unfortunately, our society does expect to just walk into the gym and have the coach teach basketball techniques.
So I played for two coaches in college who are both Christians. So at first, I was probably a little caught off guard. I went to a public school, and coach said, hey, by the way, we're going to do a Bible study before practice for those who'd like to come. And I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And then when the next coach came along, and he was very similar, and we had they actually hosted church in our gym because the church didn't have a home yet. So as that all started to play out, I guess I was a little more used to it since it was my second coach in 2 years. And I guess at that point you come a little naive and you're like, oh, maybe this is normal.
Yeah, well said, well said. Folks, in a recent edition of the weekly e-newsletter that I send out every Monday, I admitted that I have always been a stats nerd when it comes to sports. And I've got one for you that I'd like to share about David's Belmont Abbey College men's basketball team so far this season. But first, please allow me to give a big public thanks to Rick Eckstein, my guest on last week's episode of the show. He was kind enough to mail me a check to help support my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. He had asked me off the air about what some of the various costs are that I'm faced with in operating this show every week, every month, for what will soon be 5 years now. I told him a bunch of them, and I told him that I do report on the air specific bills that come in that I have to try to find a way to pay out of my own pocket, being that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. Rick included a nice handwritten note in the envelope with the check, and his support and obviously his financial contribution really mean a lot to me. So thank you again for that, Rick. You can be like him and include Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, perhaps a Christmas gift to yours truly, as a gesture to let me know that you enjoy and appreciate the work that I'm doing and that it is helping you in your faith life. You can do it online by using the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, that is easy, and that is secure. And you simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving, meaning there's not a list of predetermined amounts to agonize over choosing from. For those that are a little hesitant about putting credit card information online, you can instead contact me for information on doing what Rick Eckstein did and send a check through the mail. Get in touch via the website or social media, or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with the relevant details. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. David, tell us about coaching at Belmont Abbey College, a Catholic college, and how present the faith is as part of your basketball program, whether by your doing or perhaps the athletic director or someone else handing over a plan for making sure that the faith is very much at play with your staff and your student athletes.
So, Bruce, I am 7 games into my second season here. And this is my first role as a head coach. So obviously I'm learning something new every day. But this is a Catholic college. You know, when I interviewed for the job, they didn't ask me any questions about X's and O's, what we were going to do, how I was going to run practice, style of play.
Wow.
It was all about, you know, how are you going to help develop these young men in body, mind, and spirit?
Mm.
That's all they cared about. They don't just put posters up and have signs on campus like this is who they are. And I think it starts at the top, you know, with our abbot and the president, and then down to our athletic director. For me, you know, we have some things that are already built in here, right, with things like scripture classes, the Catholic holiday. We're not allowed to practice. On Sundays, we're not allowed to practice to allow, you know, our students who are inclined to go to Mass. So I think there's some built-in things here that try to protect us, because there are a lot of, and I won't talk down or bad about other schools. There are a lot of schools that are Catholic schools that are just a Catholic school in name, if that makes sense.
Mm.
But I think here it's real, it's genuine, it's who we are and who we strive to be. For us personally as a team, you know, obviously we pray before and after a contest. The biggest thing for us, though, with myself and our staff is we just try to pour into our young men on a daily basis, and we try to know who they are as people so that we can help them grow in all areas of their life. And not every young man on our team is Catholic. But what I learned, you know, going to a Catholic school as a junior in high school and getting back in a church at that age is sometimes you have to meet people where they are. And not everyone has the same baseline understanding. So we just try to be intentional with that time spent and make this much more about the people side of things than the basketball side of things. And, hopefully if we continue to pour into people, a byproduct of that is us having success on the floor.
I love everything that you just said, but I do want to back up to the part where you said not everyone on the team is Catholic. So just in the interest of the society that we live in today, what does happen in those cases? Because how do you make sure that they feel included? How do you make sure that they understand they have a choice? Just describe that whole perspective for the non-Catholics on your team.
So I think a lot of that has to be discussed during their recruitment process. Like, I don't want someone to show up on campus for the first day of school and say, oh man, this is a Catholic school, I wasn't aware. So we have those conversations early on. And, you know, what I like to tell guys, you know, if your faith is important to you, regardless of if you're Catholic, Muslim, Baptist, whatever it is, this is a place where you can grow. For me in my life, in my not that many years lived so far, I feel like I've grown the most in my faith when I'm around people who also prioritize their faith. So we try to get that point across to the young man that we're recruiting. Like, hey, whatever your faith may be, there are opportunities here for you to grow within that.
And audience, I want you to understand the position that David could potentially be put in. And David, I do want you to comment on this. But because we all know that sports, even at the collegiate level, is big business, David could be talking to a potential student who he absolutely would be thrilled to have on the Belmont Abbey College men's basketball team. And this potential student athlete could say to him, I'm not Catholic, and I'm not interested in participating in any of the team's religious activities, and David has to make that choice at that point in time. Is that a deal breaker for me? How can I make sure that he's welcome? If I know that this is going to be a great player who's going to get us a lot of wins, but he's going to walk away from the team every time we launch into a prayer or every time we talk about going to Mass as a team or doing a Bible study, that's a challenge for David because of the business side of it. And you can almost see that Satan might try to enter into that and really make this a divisive situation. So, David, am I onto something there?
So that's not something I've dealt with to this point, you know, someone not wanting to participate. But I guess that the one comment I would have is you never know when you're going to reach someone. You know, and if someone's in our basketball program for 4 years, you know, as a coach, you hope they listen to everything you say. But somewhere down the line, hopefully during their experience with you, you say something, one of their teammates says something, or they experience something that leaves a lasting impact. And I think that's what we're hoping for, right? We don't know when it's going to happen. And someone may be more guarded than others, and, hey, this isn't for me. I don't want to participate in this or that. I guess my hope, my prayers are that something said or experienced during their time with you has an impact. And maybe Jimmy doesn't get it during his 4 years here, but maybe, you know, 3 years down the line, he experiences something that brings him back to his time shared with us here. And maybe I get a text, maybe I don't, saying, hey, coach, I didn't think I was listening back then, but, you know, what you said just kind of hit home with me now that I'm living my life here as an adult.
Yeah, nicely said. Nicely said. Here we go, folks. Here's me being a stats nerd. As David mentioned, as he and I are recording this interview, his team is 7 games into the season, and they've had some really, really close games. In fact, I found that 4 of the first 6 games were decided by 4 points or less. David, this is a potential teaching moment. How do you preserve team unity when temptation could set in as far as quarreling or complaining or gossiping or giving in to frustration? I'm referring to when you're coming out on the wrong end of too many games that are 4 points or less.
Yeah, so we're in a tough spot right now. And what we've tried to do is just make it about life. You know, we're going to face challenges and adversity. Here's an opportunity in sport to handle something that's hard, right? A chance for us to stick together. And, you know, if we learn to use the adversity right, can we grow in ways that we wouldn't have been able to otherwise? You know, my team last year, our group, we started 0-4. So maybe it's something we're doing as coaches that's not preparing the group to succeed early in the season. But I do think if you're able to overcome those challenges, that you can grow and do things that you might not have been able to do otherwise. So we're just constantly talking about those things. And I think it's our job as coaches to stay even keeled, not to get too high or too low, and to be thankful for the hard times, right? It's easy to be thankful when things are going well. You have to be thankful for the hard times, because, you know, that's when you grow the most.
Wow. Great lesson, as I knew it would be. There's something that you mentioned earlier that I want to go back to, because it is a long season. The last regular season game is not until February 28th, and then there's still all of the Conference Carolinas championship play over 5 dates in March, all of which means a lot of road games, a lot of travel. So you mentioned before that because you're a Catholic school, you won't practice on a holy day, you won't practice on a Sunday. How do you make sure that there's an opportunity for your coaches and players to attend Mass on Sunday with a sport that very much plays games on the weekend, and you do have to do things like travel to road games?
Yeah, so for us, besides our conference championship game on Sunday, I believe it's a Sunday, we're very lucky. We don't, at least in my time here, we haven't run into any instances where we're on the road on a Sunday. We play our games, our weekend games, on Saturday, and everything is close enough where we're home by midnight. So thankfully, we hadn't have to come up with any, creative solutions to give guys opportunities to go to Mass on Sunday, if that makes sense.
Okay. Let's put sports to the side and hear a little bit more about your faith life. Maybe any pilgrimages or retreats or mission trips that you've gone on, or say any organizations with religious ties that you are or have been a part of, like Emmaus or Knights of Columbus or Curcio or Legatus. Any highlights or even testimony that you'd like to share?
I haven't had any pilgrimage or big trips to this point in my life. When I was in college, I participated in FCA.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a good experience for me. It became interesting when I stopped playing and started coaching in the middle of my college career. I think I probably could have continued to go and participate in FCA. But it was really for the student athlete. And I felt like as one of their coaches, I wanted to give them that space. And if I could go back in time, I think I may have done it a little bit differently, because I think it may have helped me in my coaching to still participate in those meetings, even though some of the kids that I was attempting to coach were a part of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. As we get set to close here again, folks, I don't know David's personal story. So this is where I usually ask a guest about being in the sacrament of holy matrimony and having children, or if neither of those apply, about the parish they belong to and any involvement there. David, your case?
So I am not married. Hope to be one day. No children. Both of my siblings are married recently. I'm an uncle as of 5 months ago. So that's what I, when I'm not in the office and with our team, I spend a lot of time with my niece. And then, one interesting thing that we didn't touch on, that kind of part of, I guess, my testimony and how I got into coaching, it wasn't necessarily by choice. After my sophomore year, my scholarship was kind of taken away, and I was offered an opportunity to coach or to go somewhere else and play. And that was a hard time for me, right? Because my dream was to play college basketball. Ended up trying the coaching thing out and loving it. And at the time it was really hard. But when I look back on it now, I graduated college in 2018 and I was named the head coach here in 2022. So like my steps were ordered. Like there was a plan for me that I didn't see in the moment, right? In the moment I was hurt and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what decision to make. But silly me, right? This awesome opportunity was waiting for me. And if I had continued to play those last 2 years, I wouldn't have met a lot of the people that I met, and I wouldn't have experienced things I experienced in coaching. Kind of allowed me to get some of my early opportunities to be an assistant at West Point and to work at UNC Charlotte, and then to, have the honor and privilege to coach at Belmont Abbey College. So I think a lot of us go through hard things and we don't know why it's happening to us. But there could be a blessing on the other side of it. So sometimes you have to lean into those hard moments.
Clarify this for me. Is Belmont Abbey such that you are considered a member of their parish, or is it, no, we have a chapel on campus and I go to a parish elsewhere in the community?
So we have a basilica on campus. It used to be more like the way you're framing it, but I go to St. Thomas Aquinas in Charlotte. We have the basilica that has Mass every day, and then we have a adoration chapel as well. But the community that uses the basilica, I've been on Sundays before. It's not 100 people in there. It's the monks. And then, there's some different people from campus that do go there. But there is a Catholic church in Belmont, and then there are several in Charlotte as well.
Gotcha. David, wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your team, and we'll pray for some extra wins if that's all right with you.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to have the opportunity to chat with you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, I thought it would be appropriate, obviously, if we would close with one of the prayers for coaches. So let's do that together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Thessalonians 5, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing." Thank you, God, for the love and compassion you show me when I fall short of your expectations. Help me to inspire those I interact with to be what you know they could be. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.